Revolution. Oh, they need some stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
I did a great bit while you guys were away. Stories from my background.
Did you?
Yeah, Thorno.
What have you done to this show?
No, I'm just joking. Good to have you back, Fev, with more stories of Fevolution.
Yes, and it's topical, guys. It's what's going on in the football world at the moment. There's a lot of things have changed in the game of footy. The game's got quicker. They've changed some rules. But one thing that has never got better, which is goal kicking. It's never improved.
Since you played?
No.
Because you're a good goal kicker.
I kicked 5.9 yesterday. So this, I don't know where this topic's going to go, because the people at the Melton South yesterday watching me talk about this, they'll be going, well, maybe you should get back to what you were doing.
Oh, you mean so those elements have all gotten better, but goal kicking has plateaued.
Yes, just never got better. And Collingwood yesterday missed a lot of goals and had more inside 50s. And I was listening to another radio station driving home. It was a sports station talking about footy, because I wanted to hear what the scores were. And the wrap-up of the game, and they were talking about Jack Riewoldt, who kicked 6 goals, 2 on the weekend and kicked really straight 1 in the game. And he said he had about 400 to 500 shots at goal this week.
Yeah.
And it took me back to back when I was playing, because I used to have probably 100, 150 shots every day, because that's my job. I'm a full forward. I'm out the ball. I might only get 4 or 5 kicks, maybe get 2 kicks. I need to kick 2 goals.
That's my
job. That's my bread and butter.
So every day you would kick 100 balls?
Easy.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
that's what that is. If I get it, every day I do about 150 silly voices. I just get it on top of this.
Just try them out in the mirror?
I do. If I go down to the supermarket, I'm just like, one avocado, please. Hit my KPI.
Well, until we just wrap it up there, because he's just another singer. So the sports scientists came in about early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I'd be having shots after training.
When you say
before
shots.
Training.
Because when you say scientist, I think of Stephen Dent. So when you say shots, I'm going, what are you doing?
I was having shots after the games on Saturdays.
Okay.
That's a different sort of shot. Yeah, right. I'm talking about shots for goal.
Okay.
So I was having a couple of shots, as I do, having 50 to 100 after, do some before, some after. And the sports scientist guy would come up and say, mate, I've had 10 shots. And he's like, no, you can't have any more shots at goal. You've overloaded on your legs this week. And I'm thinking, what? So this is my bread. So they literally take you off the ground.
Really?
And that's what most of them do now. So goal kicking sort of, they don't train for it. And when you play a game of football, 99% of the time, if you kick more goals than the opposition, you're going to win.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. So I used to drive home. I had balls in the back of my car. I had some Sherrins in the back of the car. And I used to stop at a local footy ground.
Yeah.
And I'd have jump out, and I'd have shots. I'd have 100 shots myself on the way home from training. And sometimes there'd be little kids there training, because they kick the ball back to me, and that was my routine. So I enjoyed that, but the footy club never knew that I was doing it, because we'd already trained enough. But I actually did that in my spare time.
You had
time.
To sneak behind the football club to practice.
To practice my goal kicking, but it worked, because I was confident that I could kick straight, because I was actually practicing down at the local Beaumaroth footy ground. I was either in Black Rock or down on Bluff Road. I'd just go to the footy ground and didn't have the elements of the big grandstands. It was just a local footy ground, but actually, I actually quite enjoyed going down there and doing it.
It's just, I'm throwing though, because it's you doing extra work.
So yeah, I don't get either.
It wasn't extra. Who I know.
Dave, I don't get. No, but that's my bread and butter. Yeah. I got paid to kick goals. If I didn't kick goals, I would have been playing in the Scooby Doos. I mean, you don't want to play in the twos. So when you had the opportunity to kick goals, so. For all the sports scientists out there and all the football clubs, if you need a goal kicking coach, give me a call. But get the boys kicking goals. You kick goals, you win matches. And that's the story of the loop.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they need some stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
And coming up next,
I just got a text from one of the Melton South boys. Maybe you should start practicing more
again. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
A little political chat. After passing 100 days in office, the US president has made a point of saying that a major highlight so far of his tenure as the president was that a TV appearance of his outrated the 9/11 coverage. He was bragging that his appearance on the CBS show Face of a Nation was their best rating show ever, and it beat out that they covered, beat out the World Trade Center tragedy. Interesting though, because his background is TV, and we all know that television stations love ratings, so you can understand he hasn't let go of ratings.
Yeah.
But as always, we've got the president on the line. We're very humbled to be able to have this direct access. So thank you for joining us, Mr. President.
And he said, sorry, I was just trolling people on Twitter. Hey, what's Hillary Clinton's handle again?
I'm not sure, Donald. Look, we're here to talk about what you said, that your TV appearance rated higher than the coverage of 9/11.
Oh, yeah. The Donald can still pull in the numbers.
Yeah, Mr. Trump, but it's just not good diplomacy to say that you rated better than the coverage of the World Trade Center terrorist attacks. I mean, that was a national tragedy. Is it really comparable?
So let me get this straight, Missy. Are you asking if me becoming president is comparable to a national disaster? I think we all know the answer to that.
Well, unfortunately, yes. Yeah. But however, shouldn't you care more about presidential matters? Like, I mean, look what's happening with North Korea, creating long-range missiles that could hit either of our countries. They're now talking about Darwin with nuclear weapons.
Look, believe me, it's not a problem, okay? The missile range could only hit the west coast of the U.S., and those Californians didn't vote for me, so good riddance, losers.
Oh. Donald, you seem to take popularity in TV ratings as a priority over ruling the country.
Okay, that is not true. There's plenty of other things I prioritize over ruling the country as well, okay? Like checking Google Alerts on my name, buy more followers on India, starting hashtags. Okay, I just started this one that's called hashtag I want to hump Trump. Now, let's see. Who is there? Melania just blocked me.
Aww. How do you know she blocked you on Twitter so quickly?
Oh, no, not on Twitter. She took my phone out of my hand just then. She blocked me from any more tweeting. Hey, I know the president gets a first lady when he's sworn in, but when do I get a second one?
Oh. Okay, we've had enough. Thank you.
Goodbye, Mr. President.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Are you smarter than...
Welcome to a very special edition of our popular 6:25 a.m. quiz. Are you smarter than... I reckon this segment peaks right now.
Yeah, it does, because one of our all-time favourite game shows, in fact, Fev and I have participated on the Australian version of this. We are talking about The Chase, and we are joined in the studio. Wait for it. The Beast is
the
here.
Beast.
He's in the studio.
Yeah.
Now, everyone knows you as The Beast. I feel like calling you Mark, though, because it is
your fair enough.
Mark.
I'll call you The Beast.
Fair enough. So you lost to Anne, the governess, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I didn't lose. Yeah.
No, you got walloped.
Yeah, well Fief didn't quite get the show. She thought she was against me, so she wouldn't let me answer anything.
Yeah.
She's like, Fifi!
No, don't worry, I'm very familiar with the show. Yeah. I was just jumping with the answer before you. That's all it was.
You knew that I had the wrong one.
The Beast, the structure normally is we get calls on 13 10 60. They take on either Fifi or Fev to try and win some cash.
Okay.
This time, Fifi and Fev are going to unite as one and take on a notoriously smart human, the Beast from The Chase, for the really ultimate bragging rights. If you can beat this guy, you will dine out on this.
He's unbeatable. Yeah, can you think of how many times you've been beaten on The Chase?
Oh, it does happen a lot. You know, it's all told now in Britain, America, Australia, it's happened all maybe twice. it's a bit more than that.
Mark, all right. You're so smart, it's intimidating.
Well, to be correct, it's Mark Levet, MA, PGCE, CPE, LPC, but who counts all those initials and qualifications?
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Actually,
what?
Can you run us, just quickly, for people who aren't even familiar with The Beast and The Chase, run us through your actual qualifications.
I've got a Master of Arts in Mathematics from Oxford University, third class, but we'll keep quiet about it. PGCE in Maths Teaching, CPE in Law Conversion, LPC as a qualification for an intending solicitor, so I'm tolerably smart.
Oh, you are so smart.
Catch The Beast and all the other chasers on Australia's number one game show, The Chase Australia, 5 p.m. on 7.
On.
Here we go. Good luck.
Turn your microphone down.
Okay.
Here we go. In which city was the 1992 Summer Olympics held?
Barcelona.
Oh, you were close.
You were close.
I know you were.
You were very close.
You were very good.
1-0. Beast 1, Fifi and Fev 0. Question 2. Louis the Fly is an animated mascot for which insecticide brand?
Mortine! Yeah! 1-1!
A bit of local knowledge there.
Actually, we should have rigged all these to be old Aussie TV commercials.
Yeah, Louis the Fly, I'm Louis the Fly. Watch out for
that
spree.
We finally found what you know.
I love that it's come down to this. I don't know much about whether this is in the Beast's hitting zone, so let's see how we go with the deciding question.
Good to know.
Who sings the song One Dance?
Drake.
You guys work for this radio station.
That was a terrific.
We've played
question.
That song a million times.
You know, what was it? So it was number one for 15 or 16 weeks in the UK. The biggest song of last year. And you professional DJs did not
that
know
is
that.
The that's ultimate terrible. Embarrassment. You've been beaten with your own stuff.
You're not that smart, mate. I'm not a professional radio person at all. I just landed on my tippy toes.
He's also notorious for being a horrendous sport, so you're starting to feel some of that right now.
You should have done a footy question.
Give him a footy question.
Oh, sorry, host of a top 40 radio show, you didn't know Drake. Apologies.
Anyway, the beast said give him a footy question.
God, I'll give him a football question then. If not, they'll get the funny thing. I played 20-odd years ago for the Bristol Broncos. So what was the parent club back in Australia?
Brisbane.
There you go. I thought you'd be chuffed out to show you know coming.
And he played for them.
No, that was the Lions.
Brisbane Lions.
You guys are doing so much damage. Let's just move on and congratulate the Beast for his win.
Thank you.
Hold the crown. The Chase Australia, weekdays from 5 p.m. on 7. That's where you can catch the Beast and all the other chasers.
And something you probably could have predicted before the game started, I didn't answer a question.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
A lot of chat at the moment about Kim K. Kim Kardashian's on holiday in Mexico. And photos, pap photos have been released and very clearly not airbrushed. Because Kim has, over the years, suffered criticism for airbrushing her photos. And you can remember the photo. What was that? Paper magazine? Whatever the magazine was where her bum was on the cover.
Oh, the one that broke the internet.
The one that broke the internet. People are arguing that's very heavily airbrushed. So these photos, pap shots, have been taken and they're
not airbrushed.
No, they're not airbrushed. And Fev, look, as a woman, and this is funny because I am a curvy woman who, when Kim K came on the scene years ago, I went, yes, a woman with curves. Yes, this is awesome. Because we need, you know, before that it was sort of Paris Hilton and very stick thin, you know, Kate Moss, you had to have no curves. But I'll be
similar to me in the 2000s, and now I'm more curvy. 2017.
But and there's been rumours, and I'm the first to say I don't buy that her bum's not fake, because I've seen photos of Kim back when she was Paris Hilton's BFF, and then you see the photos of now, and you go, but your bottom is so exaggerated from where it was, and people with big butts now just say it's squats. I've squatted. That hasn't happened to me. Like, I don't know. Anyway, these photos
could have gone so many places then.
These photos, it does. Now, Fev, have a look, because she's so skinny. She's got tiny little legs, tiny waist, tiny arms. It just looks to me like that may be a fake bottom.
It's on the Instagram too, Fifi Day Fev Byron. Yeah. Look along.
And
play
she's
along.
Actually very thin. She's got a thin waist. She's got beautiful, nice long legs and little skinny arms. She's a beautiful human, but it is a fake bum.
You're calling it.
Oh, 100%. But if she's happy with it, I've got no problem with people getting plastic surgery or implants, wherever they want to put them. But on your bum, maybe like... All right, she might get uncomfortable when she sits, put implants in there, makes her a bit more
comfortable.
Cushy. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, might be more comfy. But good luck to her. She's happy, she's flaunting it, she's owning it.
The thing, and I agree with you, do whatever you want to yourself. And no one's sitting in judgment if you want to get butt implants. But I'm just saying, I've for so long not believed in butt implants. Because I'm like, even when I first heard the rumours, I used to go, no one's putting butt implants in. Now I'm sort of on thinking that is definitely a butt implant.
100%.
And to get to the bottom of this, let's just check the temperature of our very own city. So 13, 10, 60. Have you had butt implants? Do you know someone who's had butt implants? Or more to the point, are there any plastic or cosmetic surgeons listening who can say this is a thing? Are people getting them? Because we've always heard J-Lo, Kim K.
Yep.
They've never admitted it. But I would like to know if it's a thing or if it's just make-believe. We're not really getting butt implants.
And we could also go somewhere, because Darren Lyons, the ex-Geelong mayor, he got abs. he got implanted abs in his stomach. Any other places that people get implants other than breasts, obviously? Because I'd like to, people might get like quads or calves implants to make them look bigger.
Wrist implants.
Oh, well, I need one after you squashed mine earlier today. But that's a strange place to get it.
Well, it is interesting.
No, it's not strange, mate. You know, they just had that robbery in France. All their money got taken away. They can't afford business class. You get a butt implant, you're sitting in economy. Pretty sweet, bro. Everything's feeling cushy as all get out.
We'll come back to your calls. 13, 10, 60. If you've had butt implants, or as Fev suggested, any other non-breast implant.
Or doctor, surgeons, even surgical staff. I want to know if this is happening. Are people getting butt implants?
Good stuff. We'll take your calls right after the break, right here on The Fox.
Fifi,
Dave, Fev and Byron.
Photos are circulating of Kim K. She's on holiday in Mexico. There's photos of her frolicking around a beach, as she should. And we've all admitted we're big fans of Kim's body, always have been. Good, more power to her, even if they are fake implants in her butt. But it's interesting because I've sort of heard this for years, and people, you know, even years earlier, people went, oh, she's definitely had butt implants. But I've never met anyone who's had them, and I would like to know, even from plastic surgeons in Melbourne, is this happening?
Now, Fee, I mean, she was frolicking around the Pacific. It can get pretty hairy there. Maybe they're just floaties. Like maybe when she goes for a swim, she pumps them up with a bike tire pump, and then she's like, hey, "That's a good guy."
I mean, it's a very, it's, you know, she looks fabulous, but it's just, it is interesting. They're really out of proportion, and maybe they, I don't know, is this a thing? Jess from Caulfield. Hi, Jess.
Hello.
Hey, Jess. Jess, do you know of anyone who's had butt implants?
I do. One of my friends in America has had implants.
Okay. So have you seen them? Has she shown you?
I've seen her butt, yes.
And out
is
of interest,
her name Kim Kardashian?
No, it's not.
Jess, have you seen it naked? Because I think that's, it's only when you see someone in a bikini like this where you go, whoa, that's like alien-like. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I have. And it was interesting.
So she had a normal bum. And then she went into the surgeon and said, I'd like a D-cup bum. Is that what happens? Or
that's
then
pretty much what she did.
So, Jess,
it's
you
like, it's like having breast implants in your butt.
Wow.
Is it
wow.
a bit like Kim K's butt?
Not quite as big, but it was getting there.
Kim's got the double Ds.
Actually, do you know what I'd love to ask, Jess, and hopefully you can answer this, you may have got this from her. What's it like to sit on? Does it feel different?
For the first 2 weeks, she pretty much had to lay on her stomach because she couldn't sit down.
Yeah.
Well, the irony.
But then after that, she said, you get used to it and they do soften up.
And does it feel good, though? Like, could feel better.
Well, she didn't say whether it was better or not, but she just, yeah, she was loving them.
It'd be like when you go into Captain Snooze and that and you sit on a waterbed, it'd be like, ooh, and you squish in or you get the soft. Would that be what it's like?
Yeah,
so for 2 weeks, it's all painful. Jeez, that's not fair on Kimmy K. I mean, with Kanye West, he's already a pain in the ass, so it's just like,
Thanks for calls.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Great to see Sophie Monk as the new Bachelorette on 10. And look, we had been sort of pushing forward to, a little revelation here in the team involving one member of this team and Sophie Monk.
Well, this is very interesting. Mate. Yep, no, definitely. We'll rule Fev out immediately because I think that's where everyone's mind has gone. No,
not
it's because Sophie, you know, and we think it's fabulous. She's put herself up to be the Bachelorette. She'll be great. A few people have thought maybe it's me. And because the spotlight's on her at the moment, her dating history has come to light. And she has dated Jason Statham, a Hollywood actor. We all know she was engaged to Benji Marshall. He's a footballer. Benji Madden. There's been other dates, other engagements.
And
but
it's fair to say it's not Byron because, look, it's not Byron.
Well, it could have been Byron.
Could easily have been. When Feef was away on the drive show, Sophie and I spent a lot of time together.
Sophie Fielding, she
and that's exactly why she wouldn't go out with you.
Sophie did me a real solid because she filled in when I was on maternity leave. But no, Byron didn't get the chance to date her then, even though he was single. Now we are turning to the person in the studio who's very quiet at the moment, David Thornton. What do you have to confess?
This was like a radio game of Guess Who, wasn't it? We just took everyone out and then finally left it. Yeah, look, lots been said this show, but I didn't go out with her, guys. So if Nikki's listening, call your jets.
Let's explain
this situation,
this
guys.
This is good.
Strap in.
I wasn't always working on this network. I was also working on another show. I don't want to mention them, but their name rhymes with Pavlova. And
Nova.
That was, oh, there you go. And 2009, I think it was, there was myself, Dylan Lewis and Sophie Monk were on a radio show together. And I squarely put this in Dylan Lewis's lap because we'd just be talking off air and then she'd walk out of the studio and he goes, mate, you're in. And because I was a single guy, your ego's like, yeah, I probably am. And on that holidays, I went up to a friend's place in Marimbury's house. His folks got a place up there and she was in Sydney and we were staying in contact and just talking and whatever. She obviously thought talking is mates. The Thorn Diggity thought it was a little bit more. And I will always hold this accountable fee on my mates because texting and like on the phone. My mate's like, you got to go to Sydney. She's in Sydney. You've got to go to Sydney. You've got to make your way from Murrumbula to get to Sydney somehow, some way. And that never backed me in before. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't drive up there. I borrowed a mate's car. And then he's like, no, you're not driving any further. It's not happening. No, no, no. So I bought a regional flight from Murrumbula to Sydney.
Rex.
Now, I'm a comedian with barely a dollar to scratch together. So I dropped $350 on it, which is in that time, and it's probably still is in my life, a lot of charge. And then the day before Sophie knew it was coming up, just backed out. I was like, that's probably not the best if you come up. It was, I couldn't cancel it. I called up Rex. They're like, okay, you've got a 12-month voucher for regional flying. And this may surprise you guys. I've never really had an inkling over the following 12 months that I needed to get to Albury-Wodonga that quick. So that just went down the toilet. It never happened. And then, funnily enough, on this network, we did a weekend show together and I never brought it up because I was just ashamed that I'd worked that hard to get donuts.
The lengths you went, you bought a flight, basically you would have just turned up in Sydney and expected it to be on and she would have gone, no, Dave.
I wouldn't expect it. You're making me sound like I'm on some kind of list. No,
I love that you thought that texting was romantic.
Get out of it, mate. I was in.
The best thing about this is how mates stitch you up. That is very, very good, mate, from your mates.
But do you know what?
Well, for Vola, this is it. Ever since this Bachelorette story came out, I'm getting WhatsApps and texts of guys going, you shouldn't go in. You'll be out in the first week, mate.
Do you know what? This is interesting you brought this up, though, Dave, because I had a friend recently. She was quite interested in a guy in Adelaide. And she booked a weekend to Adelaide. So she just went to Adelaide for the weekend hoping that they would hook up. Oh. So she's booked two nights, a Friday and Saturday, and I haven't been to Adelaide that often, but there wasn't much for her to do. And she was just, she got there, so booked her flight, got the accommodation, sent him a text, hey, I just happened to be in Adelaide for work, and he was busy, so we didn't even see her. Oh. But that's really
backing
yourself
in. No one's busy in Adelaide.
Well, at the footy club, we'd always stitch up mates, like Dave's mates have stitched him up thinking he's in with the Munster. Glenn Manton was a really good, he's a prankster, played a lot of pranks, and there was a young...
I met him the other week. Yeah
he's a great man, and I'll keep it short, but there was a bloke named Chris Massey who loved fishing, and Rex Hunt's fishing was a big thing back then. And he got a, because he did a bit of work at Channel 7, so he got a letterhead from Channel 7, wrote, as he was Rex Hunt, to Chris Massey, meet me down at Williamstown Pier on Tuesday, 4:30 in the morning. We're going to go out and shoot one of our shows. I heard you love fishing, love my show. Will you come out? And Mance lived across the road from the pier. So 4:30 in the morning, Massey's gone out with his tackle bag and his fishing rod. He's sitting on the end of the pier. 5:45, Rex Hunt's still not there. Matt Mance has stitched him up. Played the video to all the boys the next day in the studio. Poor Mass.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Quite the story from Dee Thornton. Sophie Monk is
now... I'll retell
now it. The new Bachelorette.
Let's not let it go. There's a chance to retell this story in a nutshell. Thorno thought he might be in with the Monkster, Sophie Monk, so he booked a flight, $350, to go to Sydney to hook up with her, and she cancelled the day before he went. So not interested.
I should have known that a monk would be celibate.
Worked out well for you, Thorno.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Nikki is the love of my life, but dag nabbit, $350.
But it is interesting the lengths people will go to hook up. And Tom from Ringwood's given us a call. Hi, Tom.
Morning, guys.
Tom, hi. Have you, like Dave Thornton, thought you're in and gone to great lengths to see a woman that wasn't interested in you?
Hey, oh, wee.
Yeah, I actually flew a little bit further than Sydney. I actually flew to London. A girl I went to high school with moved over there, and chats were starting to heat up a little bit on Facebook Messenger, and I thought I was in. And
Tom,
I understand that. That's a long way, mate. But the question is, did your girlfriend from high school used to be in Bardo? Because there's a lot on it. She was.
Tom, at what stage did you realise?
No,
so you've dropped, I'm going to guess, roughly $3,000-$4,000 on flights and then accommodation. At what stage did you realise she wasn't interested?
Oh, when I found out she had a boyfriend over there.
So, Tommy, on the flight back, obviously pretty flat. A lot of the mates will be saying, how'd you go? Did you put a bit of GST, a bit of mayonnaise on the story and say you hooked up, or did you just say, nah, just didn't happen?
No, plenty of mayo, Fev. Plenty of mayo.
I love that.
I had a, definitely said I had a few notches on the belt at the end of the trip.
Thank you. It's
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Guys, I've got a problem. It's an actual problem now and I need help. Why are you laughing?
Strange.
Oh, no, but I do. I just want to talk about something topical. Easter. That happened.
What's going on?
No. Okay. Can I tell
you? Which year?
This most recent Easter, 2017.
Oh, that's fairly hot.
Yeah, it's not. I'm a week out. Come on. But no, because this was the first Easter where Trixie, as you know, she just turned four. She's right into it because the first 3 years wasn't into Christmas, Easter. You know, I try to get her excited for Easter egg hunts. No, but this one, she was right on it. When's the Easter bunny coming, Mummy? When's the Easter bunny coming?
And it was the first time in 2 years you've actually celebrated one of the days on the day because you've all been sick.
Exactly. So yeah, Christmas, like, we're
Christmas,
all sick.
You missed it, birthdays.
Yeah, if you drop a carrot of chocolates, Fee is up and about.
Well, Dave, I'm more up and about than even I was prepared to admit. So I thought I'd get in early because in the past, whenever I've done Easter at the very last minute, all the eggs have gone from supermarkets. So I, about 3 or 4 weeks out, started.
I've been to Kmart at like midnight and there's still chocolate there.
No,
like, what
not
stage
the good
are you
ones.
Going?
Not if you want the Humpty Dumpty and the red tulip and the, you know.
We would also stress this is the work that you're doing in addition to the actual Easter bunny that does their tremendous work.
Yes, absolutely. No, great. This is just Mummy's chocolates. So what
doesn't the Humpty Dumpty make a great comeback every Easter? Don't see it all year.
Humpty Dumpty's great.
And then Humpty Dumpty with the Smarties in.
Yeah.
It's just a hit.
Yes.
Yeah, but what a moron coming back for more, mate. You know this is going to end.
So the Easter Bunny does a fantastic job, but I thought I'd get Easter eggs for the house as well. So great. I thought 3 or 4 weeks out, I'll get all the good ones. So I got a massive stash. I basically filled the bottom left shelf of the pantry of Easter
for the
eggs.
House. For you.
For you. And then Easter came and they're all gone.
You did your own Easter egg hunt. Oh, it's in the pantry again. Oh.
You're laughing, but I'm not because, yes, that happened.
Oh, no.
I was eating a whole supply of chocolate in a day and then I'd go to the supermarket the next day and pretend it didn't happen and I'd go and buy all the bags again. So I'd buy all the same chocolates that I'd already bought again, put them back in the drawer, and then that night I get into it again. I ended up buying about 5 loads of the same Easter eggs because I couldn't stop eating them.
Well, hold on. So you're turning up just like a junkie car. Sorry, mate, I ran out of another hit.
Not getting another prescription.
Dave, I started going.
Don't suppose you guys have got a Mars bar or something.
I started going to different supermarkets.
You would have had to.
I did not have to see me buy them all.
Did you do some things you're not proud of just to get some chocolate?
It's the fox.
I'm a junkie.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Well, I was interested in this because if anyone watched The House of Bond, the telemovie about Alan Bond, and he was obviously married to Eileen, then had a mistress. Her name was Diana Bliss. What a name. Like, isn't that just a fabulous name?
She sounds like he's in Bold and the Beautiful.
Yes. Or like it's a Bond girl, like Diana Bliss.
Remember Buddy Wilson's song? Living next door to Alan.
No.
No.
I don't remember that at all.
They would know. Alan.
I know Alan. It. I'm just not sure it's applicable. Yep. Good.
Anyway, so
I do appreciate
he had a mistress, Diana Bliss. He ended up leaving his wife for Diana Bliss, but years later, Eileen and Diana, they bury the hatchet and they do family dinners and lunches really? Together and they became mates. I
sound like Alan buried more than that.
Amazing. Isn't that a crazy? That's really rising above.
That's being friends with the mistress. That's actually being mates with the mistress.
Yeah. I've always said, and I'm a big believer in this, and I have this conversation with my friends and I try and do it to myself when things happen in life. Anger, resentment gets you nowhere. It's a wasted emotion that ends up hurting you more than the other person.
Pear-shaped boxing.
Yet you keep pursuing it, which is amazing for you.
I try.
It's a bit like the Mel B situation.
Oh, that's got nasty.
That's what I mean.
Is it? Which bit?
Well, they were having...
I'd throw a lot of allegedlys in right now. Allegedly. They get very litigious. Yeah,
they might be very litigious, and so am I. So I'll be very careful what I'm saying. And 13, 10, 60, are you friends with a mistress? Write a song.
Actually, no, but this is an interesting area. And Fief, I will say this, Fief, and I was stressed.
Yes.
There was no overlap whatsoever between my ex-wife and my current girlfriend at all. It was about a year apart. But when my ex-wife and my son from LA arrive in Melbourne in early July, this is how good we all are. Myself, my girlfriend, my ex-wife, and my kid were all going to the footy together.
Yeah, but that's not a mistress, so that's totally.
Well, it's
off
a start. It's getting closer. It's closer than a reference to Kevin Bloody Wilson.
No,
and
Bond.
It's not bad. No, but and you won't mind me saying this. It wasn't always like that, Byron.
No.
So it can, and that's what I think. I think it's amazing when people rise above stuff. And 13, 10, 60. If you are an example of this, you are friends with the woman who you know. Was a mistress or the man that was, what do you call the man?
Oh, is a mistress?
Men aren't mistresses, are they? What are they?
Nah, they're called players.
Yeah,
player.
13, 10, 60. Has this happened to you? Are you friends with that woman?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Georgia from Bentley has called in. Hi, Georgia.
Hi.
Hey, Georgia. Has this happened? Have you ended up friends with the woman that was the mistress?
Yes, but typically I was the mistress. So my best friend and I were sleeping together for a little while. I fell pregnant while he had a partner. She found out, was okay with it. And like, you know, it took a little while, but we actually now are really super close and raise our daughter together, all three of us.
So hang on though, Georgia, go back a second. When she found out that her partner had been cheating with you, was she initially fine? Was there any anger in the initial stages?
I'm sure there was a fair bit of anger, but it was a very complicated situation at the time. But she found out, he told her that I was pregnant, and the first thing she wanted to do was check that I was okay. She's just, you know.
She just sounds like an amazing woman, doesn't
she? She is one of the most amazing women I've ever met.
I'm really impressed.
To accept all that. We hated each other, like, ready to just catfight every second we saw each other, but... Yeah, I couldn't imagine now raising my daughter without it.
Now, hang on.
This is
a lovely outcome. So there's the three of you now raising the daughter. Who would be the actual partner
who's in the relationship now? Yeah.
They're together. It's now been about 4 years officially together. So she's the partner and I am...
The mother of his child.
Mother,
wow.
Yeah. We call each other, we're the Holy Trinity. We're the three that my daughter loves the most.
Oh, that's really beautiful outcome.
Just as another question, so the living arrangements, does he come over, is it like a separated father? Does he come over every single
week? Yeah, so I'm technically a single parent. So I live with my mum after my dad passed away. I moved in with my mum. So I live with her and Abby, my daughter, will live with us. And then she stays 3 nights a week with her dad and his partner.
Wow.
Well, you know, my hat's off to you, Georgia. That is
well
what
done.
Could have been a very messy, ugly situation. You made the most of it. I think that's a great lesson in life. Just whatever happens, try and make the best out of a bad situation.
You couldn't know other choice.
Oh, so you know, if your partner's seen another girl, see, just... Yep,
Olivia Cranven. Hi, Olivia.
Quite work like
hello.
Olivia, has this phenomenal situation happened to
yes.
you?
Yes. So I now live with... my ex-boyfriend's mistress, so the girl that he was cheating on with me, I'm now best friends with her.
So you were in a relationship with him, Olivia.
Yeah.
He cheated with this other woman, and now you and she are best friends.
Yeah, and we live together now with my new boyfriend.
How on earth did that happen?
So, there was actually a crossover period, and we both didn't know. We were both oblivious to what was going on. We don't know how he did it. And then they actually were together for like a good 3 years, had two kids together. And then she reached out to me via Facebook one day and we actually realised we've got so much in common and we're actually, get along so well. So we met up for coffee and now, we're best friends and we live together and I live with her and the two kids.
Do you know what? It's interesting you say that, Olivia, because if you think about it, people have similar taste. So he... liked you and he liked her. So it makes sense that you'd be quite similar because you liked both.
I hated her at the start, but now I love her.
These are the great outcomes I never imagined hearing about.
So think about that for anyone, if you're getting cheated on, it's a homage to you. They're just looking for the same replica.
If anything, introduce your mistress to your partner and it can all work out
friendship.
Very, very well.
Sam from Epping. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you go?
Good. Sam, now we're hearing from a boy. This will be interesting. Did this play out for you?
It's not always the girl, is it?
No. What happened, Sam?
I was friends with... I'm actually married. Then my wife found out about the mistress.
Oh, dear.
And then they became best friends and they basically started ganging up on me.
Ah.
So he's
still with them. Without me knowing.
So, Sam, your wife found out about your mistress and she befriended her.
Yeah, basically just to get back at me.
Oh,
but I'm assuming you broke up. You broke up with your partner.
With my wife?
Hmm. Yeah.
No, we're going through a divorce and then, I don't know, we just got back together and we worked things out.
You stopped cheating on her.
Yeah, that is a good step. That's a good stepping point to a solution.
Sam, that's amazing. I quite like your wife's MO there. Like, how can I hurt him the most? Becoming friends with this woman.
Is she still mates now these days?
Look, I have a suspicion that they're still friends and they still message here and there, but...
You're now jealous. She's cheating on you with her. Oh, that's great.
For a minute there, it was like that bad movie with Kate Upton where they all found out that
the other woman.
Yeah, and then it went all weird.
Oh,
but
God.
Sam ended that by saying he's suspicious of her.
She's hiding the text from the mistress. No, it was no one. It's no one, babe. Wow. It's an email.